you, Nevada, Las Vegas. I'm kind of vamping to give you a moment here. We will. We've called the order. We will now do roll call.
Chair Hayes.
Here.
Vice Chair Del Carlo.
Here.
Regent Carvalho.
Here.
Regent McMichael. Regent Moran. Regent Page. You do have a quorum.
Thank you, ma'am. We will now go into public comment. This is the opportunity for the public to speak. We will take public comment during this agenda item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item until the matter is included on an agenda as an item on which action may be taken. Comments may be limited to 3 minutes per person. Persons making comment will be asked to begin by stating their name for the record and to spell their last name. The committee chair may elect to allow additional public comment on a specific agenda item when that agenda item is being considered. In accordance with the Attorney General Opinion Number 00-047, as restated in the Attorney General's Open Meeting Law Manual, the committee chair, that's me, may prohibit comment if the content of that comment is a topic that is not relevant to or within the authority of the Board of Regents, or if the content is willfully disruptive of the meeting by being irrelevant, repetitious, slanderous, offensive, inflammatory, irrational, or amounting to personal attacks or interfering with the rights of other speakers. Do we have any public comment in Elko?
No public comment from Elko.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment in Reno?
There's none in Reno.
And here in Las Vegas, do we have any public comment? All right. Seeing no public comment, we'll move on to the consent agenda. It seems at first glance, I'll just say that we have a rather large agenda today, but so much of it is packed into the consent agenda that I don't think this is going to be a marathon meeting. So is there anything on the consent agenda that anyone would like to have pulled, since it is such a long consent agenda, to discuss in further detail? I would like to, if no one else does, I would like to pull items E and F from the consent agenda, and seeing no other comments on the consent agenda, if someone on the committee would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda minus items E and F. I have a motion from Regent Del Carlo. Second from Regent Carvalho. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so that means we are to item E. Do we have someone from the two universities are the ones that had some items that jumped out at me. I see President Johnson here. I'm looking on page 3, and I see that the registration fees were $4 million short of budgeted, though you did have non-resident tuition that came out $3 million above. And I was just wondering if you had anything you could tell the committee about why those numbers came out differently than you had projected. Nope. You want mine? Maybe Vix is working?
Sure. If you don't mind, I'll introduce myself. Vic Redding, Vice President of Administration and Finance, University of Nevada, Reno. Regent Hayes, the answer to your question, these budget projections are done well in advance to become part of the authorized revenue during the biennial budget, which means they're done several years in advance. And the direct answer to your question is we've had fewer students paying registration fees than we had projected several years ago.
But enrollment is still going up, yes? So you're just offering more scholarships, or does this, some of this tie into no, because the non-residents up, because I was saying we approved the change to the WUI program to offer the specific program up at UNR. I didn't know if that had anything to do with it, but it looks like out-of-state's up, so that would maybe have encouraged them. So it's in-state students are enrolling less and more out-of-state are coming to UNR?
So, again, Vic Redding for the record. All students pay the registration fee, so that number will be a cumulative number of in-state and out-of-state. And we do have slightly less projected, again, came in under budget. To the points that you had mentioned on non-resident tuition, we've taken a very aggressive position to continue our recruiting of out-of-state students, primarily from Northern California, and seeing the fruits of that labor here.
Anyone else have any questions, Mr. Redding, on this before I go to President Miana? Thanks. Appreciate it, Mr. Redding. President Miana, I was just curious, your institution over-earned more than $7 million in registration fees. I'm just wondering if there was any reason behind that or just had higher enrollment than anticipated?
My understanding is this is primarily due to the increase in registration fees that occurred between when the budget was initially submitted for the biennium and the actual fiscal year.
So was the tuition increases approved by us?
Yes.
Which then makes me go back to UNR and wonder why theirs was down. But okay. All right, anybody else have any questions on item E while we have it up? Item 2E, rather. If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll approve.
Motion from Regent Carvalho, second by Del Carlo. All in favor, or discussion first? No discussion, all in favor? Aye. Move on to F, the crime report statistics. Again, it was the universities that kind of jumped out at me on this. There was a, well, not just the universities. I guess if we have all of the public safety folks, the folks up in Reno there also. The community colleges seem to be the most crime-free areas in the entire country. There is almost no crime at the community colleges or Nevada State College, and I'm wondering, are we failing to capture some of the statistics from that? Because it just, I mean, I can't imagine there's no crime happening on these. The numbers are just so extremely low. Does anybody from public safety have any explanation for why that is? Chief Garcia, or Director Garcia, sorry.
Good morning. For the record, Adam Garcia, Associate Vice President, Director of Police Services for Southern Command. Quite frankly, the answer is you're correct. There is very little crime to report. I think we take great pride, and I'll let my colleague speak as well, in assessing crime statistics, not only what occur on campus, but with our regional partners. And the accuracy of the reporting, I think, is right on.
It's so much lower than the universities because there's no residential component. Is that the biggest difference?
That's a very, very big part of it. They're commuter-driven institutions, and so you don't see the types of incidents and crimes take place that you see at either UNR or UNLV.
As I look at the UNR statistics, obviously some very big jumps in, some very serious crimes, whether it's domestic violence, stalking, or rape had significant increases over previous years. Do you have any thoughts on why those? Is an increase in incidents or is it an increase in reporting? Both?
Good morning, Chair. Todd Renwick, Assistant Vice President, Chief of Police for Northern Command. Yes, we actually, I know this doesn't sound very good, but we kind of take a little bit of pride in seeing the increase. When we looked at our stats for last year, we also looked at what have we been doing. Part of that was over a year ago we applied for a grant to hire our own victim advocate in-house. And part of that was to provide additional education and resources to our campus community and then work with other departments at learning of incidents that may be reported. And what we've found out is that a large majority of what we reported has happened off campus but has been reported to the university for services. And so we think we're making headway in building trust and getting our campus community to start reporting, whether it's to police or to the university for services.
If anybody has questions as we go along, feel free to jump in. But since I pulled it, I'll just keep going unless I see someone. Going down to the next page, I see that liquor and drug violations and arrests have plummeted. Did you start a new DARE program up at UNR, or is this just a de-emphasizing of these types of arrests? Or
I'll start with liquor. We've been pretty aggressive for years, even when Director Garcia was up there. We had committed to the university and our community that we would have a zero tolerance for underage drinking. And I think a lot of that enforcement and education and our collaboration with student services and student conduct at the university, with our basics program, we're starting to see some of that result. I think the notion is now with our students, and we tell them up front every year in orientation, if we catch you with alcohol or in consumption and you're underage, you're going to get a ticket, and then you're going to go through the basics program. And I think a lot of that is we're starting to see the results of that. For drugs, and our primary drug up in Reno for the university is marijuana. As you know, marijuana is legal in the state of Nevada. So we're kind of finding a unique change with if our students are 18 but under 21 and have a medical marijuana card, we don't take enforcement action. If our students are of the age of 21 and over and they're within the law, we're not citing them. However, we still are referring those to student conduct for conduct violations.
With liquor, I mean, I understand you got education programs and orientation, but in the last 2 years, it's dropped to a third of what it once was. I mean, that's a huge drop.
Yeah, we used to get, we had a grant where we would have additional funding for outside enforcement, outside of normal patrol enforcement. So there were several times during a week, typically on a Thursday, Friday night, we would have extra patrols specifically targeting underage drinking. And we have since not been getting these grant funds to be able to do these additional patrols. So you're going to see a little bit of a flux in that. The other thing is with our athletic events, especially football, we're not having a huge student turnout right now for our athletic events, which during tailgating times, you know, one game we could get 13 to 20 citations, and we're not seeing that anymore.
Thanks. Anyone else have any questions of Chief Remwick? All right, I have a couple more of Director Garcia. Looking at the UNLV main campus statistics, you know, aggravated assault in the last 2 years is up 4 times. Burglary is up more than quadruple. Your drug arrests are up. Your liquor law, you've got kind of a swoop in your liquor violations where it went from 137 to 76 back to 140. But just kind of curious about some of the increases in burglaries and assaults that I see here. Those are the two that really jumped out. Obviously, I believe, going back, the rapes increased significantly on the main campus as well. So if you have any thoughts to enlighten us about why those changes are appearing.
Thank you for the question. Adam Garcia, for the record. The safety of our students, faculty, staff, and visitors to our institutions is a top priority. And the increase that we've seen in sexual assaults and some of the other assaultive type of behavior is that we are doing, much like UNR and Chief Renwick talked about, we're doing much better at having a comfort level for students, faculty, and staff to come forward and report these incidents. And this is a nationwide trend, by the way. If you look across the nation, you will see spikes in reported crime. And this is a result of some of the new initiatives that have come forward from the federal government in which we're creating the safe zones and opportunities for people to report crimes when otherwise they would not have been reported. As Ashley Yule had said earlier when she spoke during the open comment, we have worked very, very hard over the last year or so to foster the relationships with other components of campus, including Title IX, the Women's Center, student conduct. So we're going to see this increase over time. That doesn't mean that more crimes are occurring. It means that we're doing much better at gathering that information and accurately reporting it.
Great. Thank you both. Any questions? Oh, Regent Del Carlo?
Thank you, Chair Hayes. I just have a question on these reports. Okay, we do them in compliance with the Clery Act, which is great. There must be national statistics. Do we compare ourselves ever to the national to see how we fare? Because, I mean, this is the second or third time I've seen the Clery reports, and I've always thought, okay, you have 22,000 students at UNR, you have over 30,000 at UNLV, and then our other campuses. But, I mean, really, when you look at it, they're really pretty safe, I mean, in the long run. I mean, nothing really horrible stands out. I mean, people are people, and there's going to be situations. But the fact that we're cognizant and we're constantly getting grants to help, and I mean, we're doing a lot of things right. But I just wonder how we fare against national averages, if we even have them.
We're speaking for the Southern Command. I can tell you that we do internally look at the numbers, not only from within state but across the country, in attempt to find peer institutions. The difficult part is that every institution is different. If you take the size of, let's say, UNLV or the College of Southern Nevada, it's difficult to compare it to someplace in New York or an urban or a rural setting someplace. But we do look at the different numbers, attempt to make a determination as to whether or not we're safer or not, and it depends on how you view that. We believe that given the size of this campus, UNLV, given the number of students that attend CSN and the other two institutions that we serve, it is a relatively safe campus, and I think those statistics bear that out. Thomas and Mac and the special events that occur on this campus at UNLV, we attract over a million people a year. And so given that so many people come here just as visitors, not including students and other components, it is a very relatively safe campus.
Vice Chair DeBrava? Oh, sorry, yes.
I just want to follow up on that because I think the papers, there was headlines, you know, UNLV, UNR campuses, higher crime or whatever. I mean, it's deceiving. And you look at the statistic for the Southern Command on the auto theft, I think it was auto theft.
Yes, ma'am.
It's golf carts.
Yes.
On campus. So, I mean, yeah, it's good to know the stories behind the numbers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. The other question I have is more for staff. Now that we have a security committee, is it more appropriate to have the Clery report in future years go to the security committee rather than to business, finance, and facilities? Does this committee think so, that we should refer it to them? Okay, so if we can make note of that and send it to them. Not that we aren't happy to hear it and to know the information, but it's probably more appropriate for them. Okay, if there's no more questions of the chiefs or discussion on this item, can we have a motion to approve? Regent Del Carlo, second by Regent Carvalho. All in favor? Aye. Item number three, fiscal year 2019-2020, NSHE state-supported operating budget for possible action. Is this you, Mr. Klinger?
It is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's presented before you in this item is what we call the state operating budget. This is the budget where the state support is booked. So there's roughly $700 million in state support in this account, which is approximately a 6.5% increase over the prior fiscal year. It also includes another $326 million in other revenue, which is primarily registration fees and non-resident tuition. So this represents, again, what we call the state operating budget and would look for this committee's approval. I will say, Mr. Chairman, and you and I have had these conversations. This budget was approved by the legislature in June, and, you know, it's just now coming to this committee in December. My goal in my role would be to get this report to this committee sooner than that. Part of the challenge we face is frankly compiling this report, and believe it or not, this report is essentially compiled manually at the moment. And so what we're working on currently is the ability to pull this right out of Workday, and we're close to having that. But right now this is actually compiled manually. It would have been on the last agenda had we been able to do it, and I thought we were going to be able to make it. So that's my commitment to this committee, is to get this report to you sooner, because I know December is late relative to when the budget was approved by the legislature.
Thanks, Mr. Kleiner. Yeah, I mean, it's tough for us to be approving a budget that is
half over.
Yeah. Exactly. So any comments or questions from the committee? Motion to approve. Regent Del Carlo. Second by Regent Carvalho. We will move on to... motion approved. Wait, we got to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, motion approved. Item number four, fiscal year 2019-2020 NSHE self-supporting budget for possible action.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Andrew Klinger for the record again. So item four... is the self-supporting account. So these are all the other accounts that don't go into the state operating budget. So there are a portion of student fees, for example, that don't go into the state operating budget. The self-supporting services at the various institutions, such as residence halls, those budgets are included in here. And per a board policy change that was made in 2018, only budgets with expenditures of $250,000 or more are included in this budget. So this budget represents all of those self-supporting enterprises. Mr. Chairman, I would note there is one error, and it's not an error in the numbers. It's simply an error in the labeling, and it's on page 8 of the report, and it's TMCC, and it's the last number under uses, and it's the $648,584 that is labeled as participant support. That actually should be up above in transfers out. So it's just a miscategorization of that. Again, doesn't change the bottom line numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Klinger. Any questions of the committee? One thing that jumped out at me is you look on page 7, UNR has $43 million in student fees to UNLV's $7 million. Can you help me understand why it would be so much bigger for a school that's slightly smaller? Have we just over the years approved more student fees to be tacked onto UNR tuition than to UNLV's? Is it that simple?
Mr. Chairman, what are you comparing that to?
Page 7. The top line under sources, the top line is student fees.
Oh, I see. So UNR has $43 million, UNLV has $75
million. No, UNLV has $7
million. School of Medicine.
There you go. Okay. Now I see. So yep. UNLV being roughly 50% larger would have a 50%. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. That would be my reading error, not anything worth going into. So perfect. Do we have any other questions about this report? We have a motion to approve. Got a motion from Regent Carvalho, a second from Regent Del Carlo. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Number five, first quarter fiscal year 2019-2020 fiscal expectations. It says I'm going to make a correction on the fly. I think it should be fiscal exceptions report.
Yes.
Backup material does say exceptions. So this is an information-only item, but Mr. Klinger, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the fiscal exceptions report. And as we've seen in previous reports, it includes the UNR Fire Science Academy with a cash deficit of $8.6 million, the UNLV School of Medicine with a cash deficit of $6.1 million, as well as the CSN Dental Faculty Practice with a deficit of approximately $596,000. And, Mr. Chairman, you and I, again, have talked about this report, and for the committee's edification, we are working on coming up with some better fiscal exception reports, because as this committee and you, Mr. Chairman, are aware, Basically, we see the same items on this report every time, so you have to question its usefulness, I guess, is what I would say.
Exactly. Any questions on this report? I mean, there's three items. We obviously know the fire sciences, but it's been the same for a long time. UNLV school medicine has increased, and the CSN dental faculty practice has increased. I don't know if anyone wants to talk about that or if you feel comfortable with the direction it's going. President Miana would like to talk about it. No, you go for it.
Marta Miana for the record. So these are the accounts that we typically see here. In terms of the graduate medical education, we have three accounts that are currently negative. This is billing and arrears. So again, we're going to continue seeing these. In terms of the faculty practice plan, that is probably going a combination of billing and arrears and continuing cash flow problems. So the deficit that you see represents 1 month of expenses from the various practice plan accounts and 2 months from the surgery department. A payment was delayed due to a business process issue related to wiring of funds, and that caused the payment to be received after the quarter was closed. So that business process issue has been resolved and will not occur in the future. We continue to drive improvements to the cash flow position and expect to either eliminate or have much smaller negative balances in all accounts by the end of the fiscal year.
It might be helpful for the committee for the next time this report comes up, particularly on the practice plan, but also the GME, just to see what the accounts receivable number is and see if it actually adds up to, comes close, and maybe some historical context of those accounts receivables, what percentage is usually actually recovered on, I mean, on GME, I'm assuming it's 100 or very close to it, but on the practice plan,
it's,
I don't know if it's 60, 80, 20. So
it's a good idea.
It might just be a good idea to see that so we have a sense of it.
I agree. Thank you.
Regent Del Carlo?
Thank you, Chair Hayes. And could we see that as aging? Because I know this is a new practice plan, and we've heard the billing stuff, but I know you've got collections people, I think, Dr. Miana, that go after the bills, and at some point when you just absolutely can't get them, that becomes a figure. And at some point, I think we have to, like, write them off, or it goes into bad debt, or I'm not sure. I'm not an accountant, but I'd like to see, because, I mean, what is, this is on our third year of a practice plan, or second?
Okay. So what, if I may
just so like an aging.
Okay.
For bad debt, and usually they do it by time at the top. Yeah, thank you.
And do we have policies at either the university's medical schools about at what point we stop calling an account receivable and move it into a different category?
Right. That's what I guess what I'm getting at. Thank you.
I mean, cause at some point, I mean, you go a year, you're probably not getting it. You go two, there's about zero chance. Would be my assumption, but I don't know. I don't have the data. So maybe something to look at going forward is how do we categorize that. At some point, you got to just call it a loss. Yeah, call it
bad
debt.
And that would change depending on the payer, because with Medicaid and Medicare, there are very specific cutoffs. That you don't have with private, but okay.
Okay. And this is an information-only item. Is there any other questions from the committee about it? Dr. Z, you dodged a bullet. Nobody wanted to hear about your dental practice plan. So.
Mr. Chair, we did submit
I was telling you dodged a bullet.
We did submit a corrective action plan, and much like President Miana has indicated, we're also beginning to align, if you will, a more comprehensive solution to the issue. That includes working on the staffing, some realignment there. The issue for us was really billing and our ability to align revenues with the expenses that we had. And moving forward, we anticipate that our revenues will increase and that our expenses will be pretty constant. So that corrective action plan, I believe, will move us in the right direction. At least that's what we expect.
And I hope we get this problem resolved one way or another soon, because a month or so ago I was in my dentist with – he had sharp metal objects in my mouth and started asking me, are you going to eliminate the practice plan at CSN, and telling me his opinion on it while I was in a very vulnerable position. So whatever decision you make, at least I will
It'll
know.
It'll be a good one.
All right, let's move on to item number six, first quarter fiscal year 2019-2020 budget transfers, state-supported or self-supporting operating budgets for information only. There were no transfers between the functional areas greater than $500,000 during the first quarter. So there we go. That's one of the reports we have come to us every year or every quarter, right? And we have nothing. So, all right. So, President, yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Isn't this one that we upped it to, though? Wasn't it $25,000 or $50,000?
I believe so.
Okay. Because it makes a difference when you up those numbers.
Yeah. Number seven, President Johnson, you're up. This is the purchase of Ponderosa Village Graduate Student Housing Complex, located at 1775 Evans Avenue, Reno, Nevada. Resolution UNR for possible action.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is Mark Johnson from the University of Nevada, Reno. I am going to ask Vic Redding, our Vice President for Administration and Finance, to come forward to discuss both items 7 and 8. But I'd like to introduce this particular item by saying that this development of graduate housing was one of the first public-private arrangements that the Board of Regents approved back in 2013, whereby we did a ground lease to Balfour Beatty Campus Solutions. They were responsible for designing, building, and financing and collecting revenues on this apartment house. It's worked out very well. There are over 300 beds, and it's right on the edge of campus, and it serves our graduate students very well. So this is a very important enterprise for us. In that contract with them, Balfour Beatty Campus Solutions had the right to sell their interest in this property at any time, but fortunately we wrote in there that we required a first right of refusal. So now I'll turn to Vic Redding again about how we were approached to for Balfour Beatty to offer their interest to somebody and give us the first right of refusal. And we had a good campus negotiation and a good result. So I'll turn it over to Vic to tell you how that happened. And then item number 8 will be the financing plan.
Great. Appreciate that. For the record, Vic Redding, University of Nevada, Reno. Great pleasure that we bring you this final agenda item. We've been working on it for a little over a year, had some fits and starts, but are bringing it to you for approval of the acquisition for $28 million. As the President mentioned, this has been a public-private partnership with Balfour, and it's been a very successful one for the past several years, but two things have changed in the Reno environment causing us to ask your permission for the acquisition today. As the President mentioned, Balfour has indicated their intent to divest themselves of this asset and sell it. We are the holders of a right of first refusal, and after a long series of negotiations, came to an agreed-upon price, which is $28 million, and is also supported by the appraisal of $28 million in your board packet. The second thing has changed and causing us to purchase this rather than continue the public-private partnership is the Reno rental housing market. The Association of Off-Campus Student Housing Landlords, so non-university owned, has identified Reno as one of the top 10 rent increase environments in the country. I believe we're actually number 7. And so for students, and that is just reflective of the general market in Reno. Frankly, we are worried about our graduate students being priced out of affordable housing. However, if we acquire this, we can keep the rates affordable, or at least as affordable as possible, and still cover the debt payments. Those pro formas are in your packet as well. So acquiring this will allow us to control it, to keep the rates subject to just normal inflationary type increases, and frankly provide, guarantee the provision of affordable housing to our graduate students. No doubt in my mind that 100% occupancy is very attainable, and in fact we could probably fill two of these. So with that, I'll stop and see if there's any questions.
When are you building the second one?
I'd very much like to, yes.
Any questions of the committee? Regent Del Carlo.
Mine's more a comment. I think this has been a great partnership. I agree with you. You could build two or three more. And at the point that this is paid off, it's going to be a nice profit center for the university. So, I think it's very, very important when we do these public-private that we are, in our contracts, we negotiate that we get the right of first refusal. I think that's probably the key part of this whole project.
Absolutely, Regent Del Carlo, Vic Redding again for the record. Balfour has been great partners, and they've worked with us very closely to keep the rental rates as reasonable as possible. But there's simply no guarantee that the new owner would feel the same way. Owning it ourselves, we can protect that.
We have a motion from Regent Del Carlo to approve, a second from Regent Carvalho. Any discussion? Yes, Regent Geddes. Chair Geddes, sorry.
It's all right.
Didn't mean to demote you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, this motion inspires me, for those who have been around long enough.
Thanks a lot.
Does the purchase price include a brick facade addition to the building, or will that be something we'll look at in the future? A brick facade addition to the building, or is that something?
So it aesthetically looks like much.
This is Mark Johnson. We understand the desire, and we have no plans currently to put on a brick facade. But since we own it now, at least on the street side, I'd love to get that under discussion. Thank you.
Just for clarification to Regent Geddes's question, this is back on Evans over by the baseball field, right? This isn't like a major frontage approach area of the public to the university. I mean, this is more.
Well, everybody going to baseball and football games, it is.
Football, yeah. Some, yeah. Baseball. I've been to a lot of UNR baseball games. There's a good 100 people there at the same every game. Yeah. Anyway, all right. We have a motion to approve in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Move on to item number 8. Financial Plan, Certificates of Participation Series 2020A for UNR Gateway Precinct Parking Garage and Ponderosa Village Graduate Student Housing Complex, Resolution UNR for possible action. So now we've approved you, approved your buying it. We have to approve you paying for it.
Regent Hayes, for the Redding, Vic Redding, that is absolutely correct. Now asking for the board's help to pay for what I just bought. Absent a large bake sale, we are requesting board approval of a set of 30-year certificate of participation. We've actually bundled two projects into this request for efficiency's sake. You'll recall at the June board meeting, we reviewed a updated master plan for the Gateway District. One of the first buildings, actually the first building constructed in the Gateway District, will be a parking garage, both to support that district as well as to take some pressure off of parking on the south end of campus. We're currently in design with that, ready to break ground late spring, early summer. That's about a $29.5 million project, but we do have $2.75 million in cash reserves that we've built up in parking. A few years ago, we reviewed the parking permit increases and put in place an increase to support this project. So it is funded under the current parking permit revenue structure. So the only thing we anticipate on permit fees are inflationary increases going forward. The other part, as you mentioned, of this bond issuance would be to fund the Ponderosa acquisition. Part of the negotiations with acquiring Ponderosa required us to close the deal by the end of this calendar year. So we'll be cash flowing the initial purchase from reserves. However, need to move forward with this debt issuance at this time to then repay ourselves shortly after the first of the year. Like the parking garage portion of this debt, fully serviced from parking revenues, the Ponderosa part of this debt would be serviced from those incremental rent revenues that we get from purchasing the facility. Our financial advisor for the system, as well as bond counsel, are here, as well as special counsel Mike Wixom, who helped us negotiate the purchase of Ponderosa. With that, I'll stop and see if there's any questions we can answer.
One question that I'll ask preemptively for Chair Geddes. Chair Geddes? Chairman Geddes, I just had a question on your behalf real quick. It does have a brick facade on the new parking garage that will be facing I-80 and downtown and is the true gateway entrance to the campus. A beautiful brick facade is the pictures I saw, correct?
That is absolutely correct. There is a beautiful brick facade on this, did want to make sure that we put out there that there's a naming opportunity for the brick facade on Ponderosa. So.
Regent Geddes, I think for about $40 million we can name it the Regent Geddes parking garage. 40? 40 work?
Sold,
we got the details
for the record,
there.
Yeah.
Do we have any questions of the committee? Regent Del Carlo.
I just want to point out that by combining the two projects, would you let everyone know for the record what you're saving? Because that was really a smart move. Thank
you. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that. Again, for the record, Vic Redding. We actually don't need the proceeds from the parking garage for a few months, and my original intent was to bring this to the March board meeting. But two factors had us push that up and bundle these two. The first is saving the issuance costs. It's not insignificant when we issue debt of this size. Between the professional consultation that we get from our advisors, as well as the ratings we get from Moody's, Standard & Poor, it's a fairly substantial exercise. The second is interest rates are at a historic low, and this is a great time to finance. There's a lot more room for interest rates to move up than there is to move down, and it would take just a very small movement between now and that March meeting to significantly alter the debt costs. So by bundling them now, we pretty much lock it in at today's rates, or rates when we issue the debt to be.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve from Regent Carvalho? Oh, we got a second from Regent McMichael. Ah, he gotcha. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. We'll now move on to congratulations. You just bought yourself a garage and a housing complex. Put some brick on it. You know, you can get like that brick, like veneer, pretty cheap down at Lowe's. So, number nine, lease purchase of simulation equipment, Nevada State College, for possible action. Who's starting?
Thank you. President Butler will present this. We think this is a good business decision. The state did not. They funded a lot of the equipment for the building that we're sharing with CSN, but they didn't fund all of it. So we think this is smart for us to purchase it now, and Vice President Butler will explain the concept.
Okay, can our folks on staff who know math kind of pay a little attention here, because I'm going to have some math questions in a minute.
Okay, great. Thank you. Kevin Butler, Nevada State College. So as the President indicated, we're very grateful for the Health Sciences building on the CSN campus that we're going to be sharing. The FF&E was funded at $5.1 million to meet needs of about $7.7 million. So the college is about short $1.3 million. We looked at what we could kind of subdivide, and it fit with the amount of simulation equipment that we needed to purchase. So we immediately began discussions with the vendor and negotiated some discounts and some future price increase avoidances. Then we're not sitting on a pile of cash at Nevada State College, so we looked at some financing options as well. And we were able to get less than 3% cost of capital, which we thought was a pretty good deal for us. So looking at the cash flow of the various proposals that were given to us, and also those proposals preceded the last federal drop in the interest rate, so we might actually get some better cost of capital as well as we hopefully negotiate this and procure these equipment. The deal that we negotiated was that we'd have to go through the acquisition process prior to the end of this calendar year, but we would get the delivery just in time to put them in the completed building in 2021, and the warranty wouldn't start until then, and we'd also get the latest technology at the same time. So we thought that it was a pretty good deal. And with that, I would ask the committee's approval.
I'll let anybody else go first. I got a couple of questions, but Regent Carvalho?
I do have one question. Is this equipment going to be shared between Nevada State and CSN, or is it just strictly for students of Nevada State?
It's strictly for our simulation lab components. And at this point in time, while it may be at some future point, it's not contemplated at this time.
Mr. Butler, if you were to wait and buy this equipment next year, would you then be looking to finance it at that time also, or would you be in a position to pay cash for it?
No, we would probably be looking at a finance either way. Yeah,
because I was just doing some math, and to try to squeeze it in this year before an 11% increase next year, well, yeah. Interest at 2.85% over 4 years is about 11%, so it would have been a wash. I mean, well, I guess you factor in inflation and whatnot, but I mean, yeah. It's not that huge of savings, but the 5% savings to buy, I guess, makes the difference. So and you're going to have to finance anyway, so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, it's not just the 5%. That's 5% off the current pricing.
Yeah.
There's always an annual increase in these sorts of equipment, so we're also avoiding. We're roughly in the 15% discount. John Peterson has calculated kind of a quick fact sheet that's in your packet that calculates out the overall interest component. So the savings from financing are significantly less than the amount of the discounts that we've negotiated.
Perfect. Any other questions of Nevada State College? I have a motion to approve. Regent McMichael, was that a motion to approve? I have a second from Regent Del Carlo. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None opposed. Motion passes.
Great. Thank you.
Number 10, one of my favorites. Been on this committee for 4 years now and chaired it, I believe, for three. My math could be wrong on that as well. But one of the things we've looked at doing most of the time I've been on this committee was to look at ways to improve the efficiency of the work we have our staff do so that we, as a board, are looking at policy and governance and not micromanaging the smaller details. And one of the ways we've done that is to eliminate some of the reporting on smaller threshold items. And we have another one of those coming before us. So if you would give it to us there, Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this item before you is to increase the reporting threshold for self-supporting, so the budget to actual report, from $25,000 to $250,000, and this would mirror the change that was made in 2018 to raise that threshold on the self-supporting budgets from $25,000 to $250,000. So this would make it consistent.
When we made that change, one of the things we looked at is it still captured it was something like 85 or 90% of the dollars, though, moved the report from 500 pages down to 100. Do we have a similar comparison on this of how much money we would still be capturing even though the report would be smaller?
I don't have a specific number, but I would guess that you're going to still capture 80% with this same change.
If I can go back and look, but I think it was over 300 pages, the report this time. And, you know, I mean, just from us trying to do a responsible job,
right.
Reading 300 pages of budgets on some of them being very small, probably not the best use of our resources, and doesn't allow us to really capture the irregularities that we should be looking for. So I think a change like this is in line if the committee agrees and this is the change that we should do. Entertain a motion, but discussion with Regent Del Carlo.
I totally agree with you. These reports get cumbersome to even go through. So, I mean, there's inflation, and $25,000 isn't very much money when you're talking about an ENSHE, which is a $1 billion enterprise. So I really appreciate the higher thresholds on, and it's got to make your job much better. I mean, we should be efficient. This is efficient.
And for anybody sitting out there saying, oh, those regents, they're being lazy and don't want to read 300 pages, we are not accountants or financial experts. Look through 300 pages of spreadsheets on budgets for some of these items, and you'll see where we're coming from. Any other comments? Motion to approve from Agent Del Carlo, a second from Agent McMichael. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. I have a comment real quick before we get into new business for Chair Geddes again. Chair Geddes said to me, "Wow, that is a really big agenda. You guys going to be okay?" And I just wanted to give a big thanks to our staff who brings us very well-prepared items to the agenda. The questions are at a minimum because they've vetted them thoroughly before they get there. The committee for always being well-prepared and having researched thoroughly. And for everyone that works with us on this committee, for always coming up and understanding our expectations these last few years have been, get to the point and let's get to it. Here we are, and it's been less than an hour, and Regent Geddes didn't think we could do it in two. So congratulations to the committee, staff, and everybody in this room. Thank you. All right, now we've got new business. Any new business? Seeing no new business, we'll move on to public comment. Public comment taken during this agenda item. Maybe taken during this agenda item. No action. I read this all before. Is there anybody that needs me to read that again? Does anybody have anything they want to say to this committee? You got 3 minutes to do it. Come on up. Do you want me to read the rules of public comment to you?
No, actually, I just wanted to say, Tamara Gwynn, for the record, from University of Nevada, Reno, on behalf of graduate students at UNR, I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for Ponderosa Village. This is exceptionally great news to take back to them.
Well, thank you. I thought you were going to congratulate those of us in the South on winning the cannon, but we'll take that as well. Thank you very much. Anybody else have any public comment in Elko?
No public comment from Elko. Thank you.
Any public comment in Reno?
There's none in Reno.
Any public comment in Las Vegas? All right, everybody, this is your chance to talk to us and tell us what we're doing right or wrong. Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.